morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for attending this important announcement. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sherry Sherrill, and I am a 50-plus year resident of the City of Buffalo's East Side community. Standing beside me is Mr. Wayne Blessingame, a Humboldt Parkway neighborhood resident, and he is joined by other Humboldt Parkway neighborhood residents whom I'd like to thank for supporting and for joining the many lawsuits against New York State Department of Transportation. I'd like to welcome Western New York's broadcast news establishment, Channel 2, Channel 4, WBEN, and WBFOR here. I'd also like to thank my fellow City of Buffalo neighbors and my fellow County of Erie concerned citizens. I'd also like to thank East Side Parkways Coalition for the outstanding advocacy effort they have performed thus far in this matter. This press conference concerns the status of the several lawsuits that have been filed against the New York State Department of Transportation's Route 33 Kensington Expressway project. So let me be very clear. As pertaining to this generation's project, we residents of the inner core neighborhoods that comprise the east side of the City of Buffalo have yet to experience real justice. In fact, the Kensington Expressway itself is a nearly 70-year-old environmental injustice. It is also a racial injustice. All of the inner city Buffalo neighborhoods surrounding the Kensington Expressway have suffered and will continue to suffer because of it. What we are suffering is some of the highest asthma rates in the entire United States. And we are also suffering from a record rate of cancers, heart disease, and low life expectancy, amongst other just as devastating ailments and diseases. Despite the east side of Buffalo being a section of our city where over 40% of residents live, including over 78% of people of color, my fellow neighbors and I were not met by a proposed Kensington Expressway project that was respectful of our wants, our needs, our thoughts, or our wishes. Instead, these have been effectively undermined by the project, and it is New York State Department of Transportation whose project goals, design, and scope were decided as far back as year 2009. That despite our East Side community having been falsely led to believe in spring of 2022 that we would have a say in the planning process. That would have been a good thing. That would have been a democratic thing. But that is not what transpired. Instead, a relatively small number of East Side organizations assembled way back in 2009 wholesale acquiesced to all of New York State Department of Transportation's unrealistic objectives for the Kensington Expressway. Objectives which centered upon preserving the expressway at all costs, including the cost of authentic neighborhood reunification and community cohesion. It was NYSDOT's goal that became superimposed over our community's will, and the certification of which became the focus and aim of the planning process that our community was actually subjected to, despite all our complaints otherwise. Our community was victimized by a grossly unfair bait and switch tactic. In arriving at this generation's Kensington Expressway project, the powers that be shamelessly disregarded much that is near and dear to our East Side Buffalo community's heart, our neighborhoods, our desire to be counted as participants in decisions that affect us, and most of all, our health. NYSDOT has utterly disregarded the overwhelming preference of the majority of East Side residents that the Kensington Expressway be completely removed altogether. And that the natural linear park that formerly comprised Humboldt Parkway be fully restored to its former glory and its former canopy. That is a goal we are certain even its architect, Frederick Law Olmsted, would adamantly insist upon were he himself alive today. Left as is, this generation's Kensington Expressway project will direly uproot and challenge life in this section of the city of Buffalo all over again. And it will continue to do so over the course of the next 4.5 years. It will usher in a cacophony of noise and a menace of air pollution that will accompany pile driving directly fronting Humboldt Parkway homes. Will there be new damage to the foundations of those structures and to structures on nearby streets?
Yes.
What is certain is that there will be prolonged days, weeks, and months of blasting and excavation, not to mention the reconstruction of the expressway's massive retaining walls, a process that might release tons of asbestos. Make no mistake about it, building that billion-dollar tunnel in the heart of our beloved city, right in the middle of such a densely populated neighborhood as Humboldt Parkway is, will extend the Kensington Expressway's already devastating negative impacts for generations to come. Pollution is going to worsen, not improve. This project was a historic opportunity for the U.S. state of New York to demonstrate that the quality of life available to urban inner city residents matters as a governance concern of our state. Rather than rise to that challenge, NYSDOT has orchestrated yet another instance of residents being shown that we do not matter. And that, of course, is patently unacceptable. The Kensington Expressway Project, this generation's Kensington Expressway Project, just like last generation's, is not justice. It is a concrete band-aid on a massive wound. The wound is the expressway itself, and it is our East Side Buffalo community that is about to be hurt all over again. Just like in the first Kensington Expressway Project, our community said no thank you to the state of New York. We were not listened to yet again. In closing, and in the interest of acknowledging the 60-plus Humboldt Parkway neighborhood residents whom have said emphatically no and who are fighting for the better solution to this crisis, which is highway removal along with the full restoration of Humboldt Parkway, I'd like to leave you with the words of two elder residents, with thanks to especially Mr. James Raglan and to Miss Gwen Harris. I quote, "I was only a very young child when the Kensington Expressway was first constructed, but my feeling is it never should have been built in the middle of Humboldt Parkway in the first place. Rest and relaxation anywhere near the expressway is nigh impossible. It is a constant noise nuisance. It has caused traffic congestion and it has damaged the air. Before it was built, we never heard anyone talk about a high incidence of respiratory illnesses within the Humboldt Parkway neighborhood. Since the expressway's construction, air quality has been a huge concern for all our families. And now, today, there are many neighbors who have suffered or are suffering from asthma and or lung cancer. With that said, I'd like to introduce the wonderful legal team conducting the lawsuits against this generation's Kensington Expressway Project. Attorneys Alan Bozer and Adam Walters. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello?
Okay,
thank you.
My name is Alan Bozer. I'm an attorney with Phillips Lytle, a law firm that has been in Buffalo for 190 years. I like to think that 160 years ago, Phillips Lytle helped in the legal work to put in the Humble Parkway and the rest of the Buffalo Park system. So I'm one of the lawyers involved in a challenge to plans to spend $1 billion to reconstruct a small fraction of the Kensington Expressway. There are currently five lawsuits that have been filed, one in federal court challenging federal involvement in this project, a second, a declaratory judgment action in New York State Supreme Court, and then there are three Article 78 proceedings now proceeding in New York State Supreme Court, County of Erie, that have been assigned to the Honorable Emilio Colaiacovo. The Article 78 proceedings challenge the State Department of Transportation decision to proceed with contracts and construction. We are filing papers today for an injunction to stop the letting of contracts and the commencement of construction. We represent petitioners in an Article 78 proceeding entitled East Side Parkways Coalition versus New York State Department of Transportation. We are asking the court to grant that injunction against this boondoggle from going forward. Petitioners are entitled under law to an injunction because the DOT is proceeding in violation of law. Petitioners have shown a likelihood of success in our application, that there will be irreparable injury in the absence of injunctive relief, and that the equities weigh in their favor. I'm going to talk about the law. It's difficult to follow the cries of a suffering community so well articulated by Sherry. Cheryl, thank you so much, Sherry. The law can be dry. It should be devoid of compassion, but we say the State Department of Transportation violated the law by not conducting a full environmental impact statement, an EIS, addressing all of the effects of the proposed 4.5 years of heavy construction, blasting, noise, noxious fumes, 4.5 years of construction that will start possibly before our arguments are heard if we don't get that injunction. Petitioners believe that the EIS will show that perpetuating the error is a hardship being imposed on a disadvantaged community, and that an alternative plan, like restoration of Humble Parkway, must be employed for the good of the community. So why are we proceeding with an injunction with our filing today? First, to prevent heavy construction and blasting with all its dust and noxious fumes along this very densely populated area from disturbing petitioners in the surrounding community, to prevent construction noise from detracting from the habitability of petitioners and the community, to avoid the imminent release of over 36,000 metric tons of greenhouse gases into the air to be breathed in by the petitioners in this community. That violates Section 19 of Article 1 of the New York State Constitution, which guarantees clean air and a healthful environment to all residents of the state of New York, as well as violating the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which the state has said, the state legislature says we need to diminish greenhouse gases, and yet DOT proposes to launch 36,000 metric tons of greenhouse gases into the air. So those are violations of the law and violations of the Constitution. And also, we seek to avoid the creation of heavy traffic on neighborhood streets of petitioners in the community, which is particularly ironic because we are being told that we need this expressway to avoid putting heavy traffic on the neighborhood streets, which is exactly what they will do for 4.5 years. It was about 160 years ago that Frederick Law Olmsted designed the parkway system for the entire city of Buffalo. The city of Buffalo would be known then as a city within a park. As part of that park system, and to provide recreation and a refuge from urban living, Olmsted designed a park corridor connecting various parts of the park system. The Humboldt Parkway went from Humboldt Park, now known as Martin Luther King Park, all the way to Delaware Park. It was that park system. As part of that park system, it was the most important and beautiful parkway that was built. It created a healthful environment and provided clean air away from the congestion of urban life. Olmsted and city leaders considered clean air and a healthful environment to be important to the development of the city. Yet, 60 years ago, over community opposition, the Department of Transportation obliterated Humboldt Parkway. They cut down the trees, they took away a healthful environment. In doing so, they introduced traffic congestion into a densely populated urban neighborhood. What was once a thriving neighborhood was wounded and fell upon hard times. The 50s and 60s saw heavy construction, blasting, noise, and all the pernicious effects of dirty work in a densely populated neighborhood. The state admitted that that was a mistake. Now, instead of remedying the error, the Department of Transportation again will introduce heavy construction, blasting, noise, and the pernicious effects of dirty work in this densely populated neighborhood. It wishes to do so without fully considering the full harm that its errors, past and now present and future, will visit upon this community. That's why we are filing for an injunction.
Hear, hear.
Since the State Department of Transportation's thrust of a superhighway through the heart of Buffalo 60 years ago, as Sherry said, the prevalence of asthma has soared in this community. The rates of respiratory disease and cardiovascular diseases and low life expectancy are in the 98th and 99th percentiles, according to EPA data, among the worst in the state and nation. The state of Department of Transportation has ignored the constitutional mandate that New York citizens have the right to clean air and a healthful environment, just what was introduced 160 years ago when this park system was created. In violation of the law, they intend to protect us, but in violation of the law intended to protect us from ill-conceived projects like this, they have turned a blind eye to the legal requirement that they consider all of the effects of their proposed heavy construction will have on the community and these petitioners. Accordingly, we are asking with our filing today for the court to enjoin the State Department of Transportation from proceeding with 4.5 years of heavy construction, blasting, noise, filth, and to avoid further damage to this community and the petitioner while the court considers our arguments. Now I would like to introduce Solomon Myrie, one of our plaintiffs, to speak further about this. Wayne? I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name. Wayne Blessing.
Good morning to everyone. Before I begin, I want to share with you that we have a teacher that taught in the vicinity that's affected by the air pollution, Donna Habib.
Hey, Donna. You know what? I wasn't expecting to do this, but I came down with asthma at 55 years old. From out of nowhere. I lived off of Cherry Street, right on the expressway. I worked at 53. But I'm standing today for those people who couldn't stand and who are no longer with us because of illnesses. And we are very thankful for each and every one of you that came out today, because together we can make a difference. Thank you.
as I reminisce, I want you to stay with me. Think of a time of an architect that had a vision of a park system that will connect Martin Luther King Park, which is connected now, which is named now, to Delaware Park. A child, being black or white, 7 years of age, walking around at that time, when there was horse riding taking place down this placeway, when I could walk up with my friends from the neighborhood to the world's largest wading pool, swimming pool, which is now called the wading pool. You have no idea of what that feels like, being a young person, 7 or 8 years old, to walk around. The serenity that you felt, being a part of nature, again, being a 7-year-old person, to what is now a travesty. It was such a waste. Again, that was such a glorious time in my life.
Yes, yes.
Of being able to walk around, enjoy nature as God has made for us, different wild animals that made this place their home during that period of time. Just think about that for a couple of seconds and let that settle in. And then come back to how it is now. A big difference. Thank you much and have a good rest of the day. You know if I get 1 second, you don't get 10.
You know what?
I'm Candace Moppins, and I am one of the members of the ESP Coalition. As you can see, we're from all backgrounds, all different cultures, all different ethnicities, and that is what makes up the city of Buffalo. It's just not one group of people that we're talking about here. Our neighborhoods and communities have been welcoming people from all areas of the city of Buffalo and beyond. This issue of air quality is going to affect them as well. It's going to affect, continue to affect, people who live on the street. We've lost people that live in this community because of air quality from the 33. People who went to work every day not even thinking that where they lived, where they were raising their children, was literally killing them. It simply has to stop. We do not want to continue another 100 years, because it'll be probably another 100 years before we have some more money to do something about a condition like this. And I don't know about you, but I know that I don't want my grandson or my grandson's children to have to worry and think about the fact that projects like this are going to continue to kill people. So getting back to ESP, we started 14 months ago. It simply was one conversation between myself and a gentleman about our thoughts about this project. And it wasn't hard. We both agreed, but we disagreed on some things, and that's okay, because that's dialogue and that's growth. That's maturity. And we started talking to other people. And when those people start talking to other people. And now I think we have about 40 people that show up on a regular basis to our meetings. We have a meeting on the first Thursday and the third Thursday. So the first Thursday is at, let me get it right now, St. Philip's Episcopal Church on Fern Hill. And then the third Thursday is at the Delavan Grider Community Center. Right now we have a petition that we are asking people to step up, join us. We know that we represent thousands upon thousands of people who are in opposition to this. And for whatever reason, they're unsure about how they can help. This is how you can help. Signing petitions, we're having petition drive, allowing representatives from ESP to come and talk to your block clubs. We have all types of information that you can read, you can take home, you can share, and you can understand. We have people who, like me, it took me a while, I had to read. I also was reading stuff that I wasn't sure. I'm like, what does that mean? And so we have some really great members of ESP who have examined, reviewed, and researched all of that information, and we have it readily available that you can understand what it means so that you can share with your neighbors, other residents of the city, because this is just not an East Side thing. This is a City of Buffalo thing.
That's right.
Anything in law, since you know we need money.
Yes.
So we have t-shirts, we have bumper stickers, we have lawn signs. Now lawn signs are free, you don't have to pay for those, but we'd like for you to purchase a t-shirt. We'd like for you to wear it, but we also, in wearing it, when people ask you what does that mean, that you're able to tell them that you're in opposition to the 33 and you'd like it filled in. Why is it that we don't deserve a parkway? Why is it that we don't deserve trees? Why is it that we don't deserve birds? Why is it that we don't deserve some green space besides Humboldt Parkway over there? Why is it? Bidwell Park has been untouched.
Lincoln Park.
Lincoln Park, right. Babe, thank you, has been untouched.
Right, that's right.
The only parkway that has been grossly taken away is this one,
right.
And we want it back.
Yeah.
We want it back.
Yeah.
We want it back. So now, oh, we've got a website. So our website is eastsideparkwayscoalition.com. You can find out all of the information. We have maps and all technical stuff there for you if you'd like to take a look. You can follow us on social media. We have a Facebook page as well as Instagram. We're gonna have question and answer now, but I thank you for taking the time out of your day to come and allow us to enlighten you and provide you some information on what we're doing with the Eastside Communities Parkways Coalition.
My question is, with the close proximity to schools, the science school, school 53, school 74, has the Board of Education been involved in our talk, or in the meeting, talk about Humboldt Parkway and the quality of air that children in these schools that's near this expressway?
Good question.
Thank you for that question. The question was, with the various schools, including Hamlin Park Elementary and School 53, as well as the Charles Drew Science Magnet, which is directly behind the Museum of Science here, has the Buffalo Board of Education taken any role in this debate? What has happened is Eastside Parkways Coalition did make a presentation, a formal presentation, to the superintendent of Buffalo Public Schools, along with the president of Buffalo Public School Board. And the superintendent was very amenable and very grateful, very gracious at the same time to receive that information. And we are confident that with continued pressure upon this project through the legal matters that have been filed and along with Eastside Parkways Coalition's outstanding advocacy efforts, that the superintendent will continue to be kept abreast of developments on that course, but also of measures that can be taken to protect the staff and the children in Buffalo Public Schools against the damage that the Kensington Expressway has caused.
It's so very good to be here with this beautiful group of we should always hear from the youth. And we should always hear from, what's the next thing after that? The elders. I was here 70 years, 75 years in this neighborhood. I've seen the beauty of it. We strove to be a part of it. The next thing we know, we had bulldozers out of the clear blue sky. What happened? What happened?
We dropped the ball.
We have amongst us, amongst our businessmen, we have developers, construction workers. They are a business. Developers and construction companies, they are in the business of making money. They are not in the business of preserving the beauty of anybody's city, anybody's neighborhoods. So I just want us to know that part of the thing, what we're dealing with is our businessmen who have been very instrumental in what we're talking about right now. They put the shovels in the ground, they dug up the trees, moved the houses, they was involved with putting the that disease in our children. What's it called?
Asthma.
I know 15 of our, at least 15 of our young women who got that lupus. That's what I wanted to mention. Young, they say when they went there, all they see, only they went to the various lupus meetings that they had. Only thing they seen there was young women just like them. So this thing is very serious. I'm glad we are making an effort to let our elected leaders, our construction powers, our construction businessmen and women, to know that sometimes you don't have to do what you do to make money. You don't have to destroy the neighborhood. So I think this group for taking on this awesome responsibility of making our voices legal.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And I appreciate the fact that we're having our women involved. So thank you. I want to say, last thing, one of my teachers,
yes.
Donna Belton. I mean,
yes.
Anywhere I go in this life, I'm going to respect her. Thank you very much.
That was Mr. Solomon Myrie. Is there anyone else that's due to speak? Any resident, Humboldt Parkway neighborhood resident? Anyone else? Well, we want to thank everyone for taking time out of your day, as Ms. Moppins, Candace Moppins of us has said, and Eastside Parkers Coalition. And I just like to say to the legal team, thank you. We'd all like to say that.
Them, and has anybody reached out to them, and even the Harris Drugs campaign, actually under Ms. Grant's seat.
You want to address it?
So our advocacy started 14 months ago, and it hasn't been a conversation that we've just had with the state. We haven't just had it with the city or the county. We have been consistently reaching out to Senator Schumer's office. We met with him last fall. We've met with then Senator Kennedy, now Congressman Kennedy. And it's very clear that they're aware of what's going on here and what the opposition is. We've even heard behind the scenes that the governor is starting to step away from her support for this project because of the growing opposition to this project in the neighborhood. We've had scores of events. We've had evening events where we had 250 people at the Meriwether Library, where Majority Leader People Stokes was there and heard loud and clear what the opposition and what the voice was the people. The error in all of this was that they didn't have a truly authentic engagement process for the community early on. They thought because this quote unquote idea came from the neighborhood, as they present it, that this is an idea that was born from the neighborhood. But if you talk to the founders of Restore Our Community Coalition, you know that their original intention was to remove the expressway. In Stephanie Jeter's words, the late Stephanie Jeter, one of the founding members of ROC, I called her right before I presented at the hearings that were at the Science Museum here. And she said, the expressway is killing us. Now, if you're a state leader or you're a federal leader or you're a city leader or a county leader, and you have a community activist coming to you and saying, this expressway is killing us, and then your option to fix that problem is to put a cap, but to maintain the thing that is doing the harm, then what have you done for that community?
Nothing.
We need true solutions that reinvigorate the neighborhood. One thing that we all talk about, the health. Yes, the health is an important factor. But we're not going to reinvigorate the East Side until we see economic vitality on Broadway, on Sycamore, on Kensington. Those are the things that we have been talking to our elected leaders about. But in their minds, this project's too far along and we can't go back. Well, we can go back. We can stop this project. And if we all come together like we did today and like we've been doing for the last 12 months, we will transform the East Side of Buffalo for the good for everyone that lives here. Now, we need Senator Kennedy to sit down with us. And we need Senator Schumer to sit down with us. And I'm sorry, we may have to close the door on $45 million of this because this project missed the train. But you know what? If we fill in this expressway, we don't need it. Because the state, because the project will cost one third, and all of the state money that we save, we can invest into these commercial corridors to put money back on these streets and back into businesses and back into jobs, which is what we need most. We don't need a covered tunnel. We need communities that are healthy and have vitality again. That's what we need. We have had communications directly with the White House, yes, with Pete Buttigieg's office. The irony with all of this, and it's the power of our politics today, is that the federal government took three whole days to rubber stamp this project once they received it on their desk. So they did not listen to Senator Schumer's staff that were talking to them saying the community is not supportive of this. They did not listen to if then Senator Kennedy communicated to them. Okay, they were gung-ho on pushing this project through because it's a Democratic project. The Democrats need wins. It's a big infrastructure bill. And they want to be able to point to this and say, hey, we invested a lot of money on the east side of Buffalo. Okay, well, unfortunately, it didn't do the good that they promised that it would do. All right, yes, we reconnected 3/4 of a mile, but that is not going to go further. Okay, unless there's some magical engineering feat somewhere that's going to deal with the Skajakwita drain and how to properly route the Skajakwita drain through right now that currently runs, not coincidentally, 1 block north of where the tunnel ends. Okay, there's a reason why the tunnel ends where it ends, because it cannot go further unless there's some miracle engineering challenge. Does anybody know that engineering challenge that's can pump away a four-foot diameter aqueduct that goes underneath the current expressway? That's what we have to deal with, okay? And there isn't a solution for concentrated pollution at either end of those that tunnel. They told the neighborhood, we're gonna improve air quality, all right? The Community Protection Act guarantees that they should be improving air quality. It guarantees that in a disadvantaged neighborhood, they should be decreasing CO2 emissions. They are not doing that with this project, and we expect and demand more. There's a letter writing campaign. Please sign up on the table. You have one last question. It's a conversation to have with the Harris Waltz campaign. Betty Jean Grant here, who is a longtime warrior in this community, has been working with the Harris Waltz campaign, as has Sherry and many other people in this group. But what we need right now is to engage. We need, first of all, we need this injunction. Like, that's what we need. If we don't get this injunction, all of this, you know, there's not really much we can do to stop it. The courts at this point need to stop it unless the governor has some, you know, awakening and gets out of bed tomorrow and says, this is a ridiculous project and I'm going to listen to my constituents and I'm not going to force a project that nobody wants down their throat. Unless she wakes up tomorrow and says that, or the courts agree that it's an asinine project that's not in the best interest of the community and doesn't deliver the benefits that it will, this project is going to happen. But if we get that injunction tomorrow, and we've already initiated some of these conversations, we need to have that conversation with Congressman Kennedy, and with Majority Leader Peeple Stokes, and with the mayor, and with the county executive, because they have all swept this off and said, it's not a city issue, it's not a county issue. It is a Buffalo issue. If you're an elected official, you are accountable to these people right now that are standing before you. You are accountable to the health and vitality of these neighborhoods. That's what we need from you. That's why we elected you. So yes, we need to bring those people to the table now because this project's done. We're gonna stop this project, and if it stops, we need to now talk about what we do next, okay? And that conversation needs to be, we're removing the highway. Is that what we're doing? We're removing the highway. Everybody behind me has been involved in the Eastside Parkways Association, as have the people here in front of me, and they are the people that have made this happen and have brought us here. So they know the history, they know what we've been fighting for. They're our neighbors, they're our community activists, they're leaders, they're business owners, they're previous elected officials. Ask them questions, engage, and sign our petition. And we very much appreciate you all coming out today. Thank you.